Come on, man. It's time to be excited about Jesus. We're talking about the unfinished work left to do in this world. We got some unfinished work left to do in this world, found in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. We're going to see what God has to say to your heart and my heart. We got an amazing event coming up this weekend. Y'all know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it? It's Fall Fest, Sportsman's Banquet time, right? We God's business is unfinished business, so he needs you and me to do his business. Amen. We got a work to do. We got people to invite. We got folks that need to be saved and come and be a part of what God is doing here. Unfinished work left to do in this world in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank you that I can be in a church. Lord, that's excited about Jesus. One that don't mind saying amen. One that don't mind raising their hands, shouting hallelujah. Lord, in glory, singing glory and praises to the Lord. Father, I pray that whatever it is today, the Lord that's holding us back, the Lord, that you'll release it, as Jameson said. Release it. Turn us loose. Set us free, the Lord. Let us be able to worship you today in spirit and in truth. Let's be excited about our salvation, excited about what you've done for us, the Lord, excited about the unfinished work that you have in store left for us to do as your church and as your children. Lord, I pray that you let us lay aside every weight that, Father, is so heavy upon us today. Let us lay them aside, the Lord. Clear our hearts, clear our minds, the Lord. Let open our hearts and minds. Bless us to receive your word this morning. Father, may it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. Lord, may it convict where we need to be convicted, the Lord. Father, let us be different people than what we came in here as, the Lord. Let us be renewed, revived, and refreshed, and ready to go do your work and do your business, the Lord. Defeat the devil, bind him up. He's not welcome here. Cast out his demons' oppositions, the Lord. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives today. Lord, we give this service to you. We're thankful, Lord, that we're alive and well today. We thank you that we have breath, the Lord, to be able to speak, to be able to walk, to be able to talk, to be here in your presence today, the Lord. Thank you for that. Father, let us be excited about what you're doing in the midst of us, the Lord. Father, we give this service to you. Pray your blessings upon it, the Lord. And Father, may you be honored and glorified with the word today. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honored to you. We give this service to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's better. Amen. Unfinished work to do in this world. In Acts chapter 1, in verses 1 through 11, it says this: the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach. Jesus began this work, and it's left up to you and me to complete the work and to carry out the mission of his work to do. It said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, have given commandments unto the apostles who he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of all things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the clouds received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. When I thought about this, I thought about what Jesus was sharing here in his word. I thought about what Jesus began, what Jesus started, and what Jesus was doing is not going to be completed until he returns again, to the last last soul on the earth is saved. But until then, you and I have a job to do. There's unfinished business that we need to do with the Lord. We all have family, all have friends and coworkers and things of that nature that need to be in church, that need we need to love on them. We need to share with them the love of God so that they too will have an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of their life one day. So there's unfinished work to do. There's unfinished work that God has left us to do. So if you're taking notes, number one, there is an unfinished task. There is an unfinished task if you're taking notes. There is an unfinished task. It said in verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. His task was not finished, folks. He left it behind for the disciples, for you and me as children of God to carry out and to do. In Luke 19:10, he says this. He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. As long as there's one person, listen to me, as long as there's one person who has not heard the message, the task is unfinished. As long as there's one person that hasn't heard the message that Jesus saves, that hasn't heard the gospel, the message and the task is unfinished. It's not completed. And that's where you and I are privileged to come in at. That's where God has privileged you and me to take the gospel and share it into all the world. To go and to teach and to preach and to disciple and baptize and train people. That's where we come in at. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We are his eyes and his ears. And he left that responsibility to you and me as the children of God to carry out his unfinished business, to carry out his task. And understand, if you and I don't do it, there's a lot of God's work that'll go unfinished. There's a lot of God's work that will go undone. It takes every one of us to get God's business done. It's a team, as I said a bunch of times. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. Together, everyone accomplishes more. And if we're going to reach this world for Jesus, it's going to take all of us working together. It's going to take all of us to work together to fulfill and do the task that he's left undone. And it says he left this task to be finished by you and me, by his church. In Matthew 28:18 and following says this. Said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what? Today when I thought about God's task and God's business being unfinished, I thought about the mission fields cry out today, unfinished. Those that are all over the world and all over the country doing missions and a part of doing what God's business is in foreign missions, they cry out on the mission field today, unfinished. Unfinished work, Lord. The remote areas of the city and the town and the state we're in, they cry out, unfinished. They're incomplete. Unfinished, Lord. They cry out, the welling of an unsatisfied soul cries out, unfinished. We're longing for something. This world is longing for something, my friends, and they unfulfilled. They have unfulfilled expectations and desires, and they feel a lack and an emptiness, my friends. Listen, we will feel that until we get plugged into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. And when he fills your heart and he comes into your life, that emptiness, that despair, and those things you begin to feel, God fills them up and replaces them with the love of God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Those are expectations that God, that people desire, that only God can fill in our lives. The voices of our neighbors cry out unfinished. And we have some loved ones in our family, and our family loved ones, my friends, cry out, there's business that is unfinished. There's unfinished tasks that God has left you and left me to do. Perhaps it's in our own soul that is crying out unfinished. Listen to me. Ask yourself, are you actively participating and carrying out the unfinished task? If you don't help, much of this will go undone. If you don't help, much of it will go undone. We have several things to sign up for, whether it's the men's prayer breakfast, whether it's the Fall Fest coming up. There's still empty spots that need to be signed up. Thanksgiving dinner, so much that is needed here at the church. If you don't sign up, it will go undone. It'll go undone. It'll go unfinished. That God's business will be undone. Oh, listen to me. In John 9:4, he says this. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He's left us a task to do. We must work while it is day. We must work to complete and fulfill the task and the unfinished work that God has designed and desired for you and me to do. Number two, not only is there an unfinished task, but number two, there is an unchallenged message. In Acts 1:3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The message of salvation, folks have tried to challenge it. You can challenge it. They've tried. Man can't challenge it when it comes to the Word of God. They can, but it won't stand. Liberalism has attacked this one area more than any other. Man has attempted to produce numerous methods of salvation. In Galatians 1:6-9 says this, says, I marvel that ye also soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It started before you and I was ever thought about. They started trying to take God's word and dampen it out. They tried to produce another gospel that it didn't work. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Savior of the world. There's only one that died and rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that we put our faith and trust in. It said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, only through Jesus making him Lord of our life. It said in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, I was privileged this week with Brother Neil. Brother Neil, where are you at? Brother Neil comes in, and he comes in, and we sit down, and we talk. Brother Neil, where you at, back here? There you are. We sit down and talk, and Brother Neil and I, just this week, we're talking about in Revelations that if you add to the Word of God or you take away to the Word of God, God will add or take away from you from the life of the Book of Life. And, you know, we were just talking about that, and we were sharing in the gospel and things of that nature, and here it is again saying that if you do that, you'll be accursed. The gospel lives on. God's going to make sure his word's going to be carried forward. It's going to live on. And we see that it is an everlasting gospel. As Brother Neil and I were in the office in Revelation 14:6 is where we were at, and we were talking about God's word. But Revelation 14:6 says this, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel. Having the everlasting gospel to what? To preach unto them that dwell on earth, and to what? Every what? Nation and kindred and tongue and people. There's only one gospel to take to the nation, and that's the gospel that Jesus saves. And that's the one that you are not going to get in trouble with if you stick to the Word of God. That's the one that when you put that dog on the trail, it'll hunt for you. Amen. It'll hunt so Mike can go shoot him a deer when you put that dog on the trail. It'll hunt. It'll jump what you want it to jump. It'll flush out what you want it to flush out. So many times we're scared to pick it up and read it. Why? Because it might find something in there in our life that don't need to be in there, and that dog starts hunting it out, and you start getting convicted, and you go, "Woo! I won't do that. I like what I was doing." Amen. Oh me. And you pick it up again, you start reading it, and that dog gets on another trail. And it starts running around in that body, and then sooner or later it finds something else, and it jumps up and starts to flush it out. Woo! Woo! Something about that Word of God, man. Touch that stuff, and it just get all on you. Amen? But that's what it's supposed to do. That Word's supposed to convict. It's supposed to get in your life. It's supposed to reveal things in your life and my life so that we can have that relationship with the Lord that He wants us to have, so those things get flushed out. In Romans 1:16, it says this, for I'm not ashamed of the what? By gospel of Christ. For it is what? Power of God unto what? Salvation to who? Everyone that what? To the Jew and also to the Greek. It is the power. It is the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's where the power source comes from, is the word of God. Power comes from the Lord. Power comes from God. And that's what he's left us to do, is to share that power, to share that good news. The gospel is the good news. It's for you and me to share that with those that need the Lord. Not only is it an unfinished task, not only is it an unchallenged message, but number three, it is an unquestionable love. Look at Acts 1, verse 3 again. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. No one can question the love exhibited by the Son of God. No one could question that kind of love, an agape love, a love that God had for you and me, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world to die for you and me so that we can live. That's an unquestionable love. That's a love that you can't explain. My friends, what we are talking about, the one who gave his life that you and I might live forever, the one that gave his body on a whipping post, my friends, the one that shed his blood for an uncaring world and a godless generation, the one that left his home in heaven and came to this world of sinners who rejected him and nailed him on the cross, the one that loved and cried out to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He bowed his head in shame and suffered and then died. And when those who hated him wanted nothing to do with him, he still did it anyways, because he had an unquestionable love for you and me, an unquestionable love that he did for you and me, a love that he went through, left his home in heaven and came to this earth and suffered persecution, suffered, my friend, the plucking of the beard, the slapping on his face, the spitting in his face, my friends, and the beating of the whipping post, my friends, suffered that, ripping his flesh off, nailed him through his hands and his feet on the cross, shoved the crown of thorns upon his head, stripped his clothes off of him, gambled for him right in front of him. That's the Jesus. That is an unquestionable love that he had for you and me. In Romans 5:8 said, but God commended his love for us, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. But not only for me, but all that would call upon him. That is an unquestionable love that only God has for you and me. An unquestionable love that he has for us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After they just beat him and everything else, he still pleaded for them, because he died for them and he loved them. That's an unquestionable love. That's a love that when you grasp a hold of it and you let it sink into your life and into your heart and into your very soul, that's a love that's unquestionable love. That's a love that is an agape love, my friend, that he has for you and me. Oh, listen to me. He died for you. He loves you. Not only that, but number four, it is an unmistakable plan. It is an unmistakable plan. When you look at verse 8, he says this, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. It is an unmistakable plan, a plan, a witness, my friend, is to be sworn to tell the truth about what he or she has saw or experienced. Sometimes we get the plan wrong. Oh, listen, it is an unmistakable plan. We are to be witnesses, not a super salesman attempting to persuade persons of our own ability what they must do. We are to be witnesses about what God has done for us and in our life. We're to be witnesses of them. We can't persuade another man to be saved anyhow. That's not our business. Our business is to plant the seed. Our business is to share the word. Our business is to invite them to church. It's God's business and the convicting of the Holy Spirit to change their life and save a soul. It's ours to be the witness. It's ours to do that. He tells us, my friends, in John 6:44. In John 6:44, he says this, no man comes unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Unless the Spirit of God, unless the Father draw him, you can't come unto him. It has to be conviction of the Holy Spirit of God for us to come, for us to get our hearts right and understand something. He convicts us. Understand something. He'll knock on your heart's door. Understand something. He'll make that heart about beat out of your chest. Understand, he'll make that lump come in your throat. He has a way of dealing with you. He'll speak to you in your ear and tell you, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what needs to happen. He's all God, and he speaks to you and me. You know, several times I see some of y'all that need to come up. Y'all grip a hold of that chair so tight that your fingers turn white. Your fingernails done lost all the color in them. Yeah. Cut it loose. Let it loose and let God set you free and come. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's free indeed. He'll take care of that. I have people say, well, I've got this problem. Or I got this issue. Or I got this addiction. I don't care. Jesus says, come as you are. He didn't say, clean up what you're doing and then come, because you and I don't have the power within us to clean up what we're doing. But when you come just as you are and you give it to the Lord, he'll begin to clean you up on the inside. It's not my job to clean you up. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Good gracious, if it was my job, I'd be dead a long time ago. Gray hair, bald, and everything else. It's not mine. It's the Holy Spirit's job. If we just open up and allow him to be God and Lord of our life, he'll work it all out. He'll work it out for us. It's an unmistakable plan. We are to witness first in Jerusalem, then our surrounding area, Jerusalem, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, then into our Judea, farther out from the home base, and the outlying towns and cities and states and counties, then to Samaria, our nation, our U.S., and in the uttermost part of the world, the foreign missions, other countries and things of that nature. Let's not mistake his plan. He has a plan for you and me. Let's get involved in the plan. It takes a team effort to reach the world, the city, the county, the state, and everything that God has left for you and me to do. Unfinished business, unfinished task, and it takes you and me to work together to get it accomplished. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Let's work together to take care of God's unfinished business. Not only that, but number five, it is an unshakable testimony. Number five, it's an unshakable testimony. Look at verse 10. It said, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. As he looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. If we could just get a professing Christian to look up. Not only that, but to look steadfastly towards heaven. So looking steadfastly towards heaven, get our eyes looking upward. Boy, we can save ourselves a lot of trouble and heartache. Amen. If we get our eyes and our focus on looking up, our eyes on focus on doing God's business and what it is he would have us to do, our eyes and our focus on him and letting him speak to our heart and our life and get our life in order, what God has intended for you and me to do, we will be better off. We'd be better off in so many arenas. If we had just looked up, look steadfastly towards heaven, our task would be much easier. Your testimony either will exalt Christ or shame Christ. Amen, oh me. Your testimony will either exalt Christ and build him up or shame Christ and disgrace him on how we live and what we do. Either it'll exalt him and he'll be honored and glorified with it, or it'll shame him. Where are we at this morning? Exalting the Savior or shaming the Savior? Oh, listen, if you're looking for him to come soon, you will cleanse yourself. If you're looking for him to return soon, you will live a life of holiness. You'll live a life of purity. You'll live a life of cleansing yourself if you're looking for Jesus to return soon. But if you're not looking for Jesus to return, you'll live your life carelessly. You'll live your life carelessly because your eyes are not focused on the Lord. They're not focused on his return. But my friends, when we get focused on him, it'll change your life. He who has no thought towards the coming of Christ is not living a testimony for him. Christians don't live like the world is going to end today. I can assure you, if we got busy and about doing God's business like he was going to return when we say amen and dismiss here in a few minutes, it would change our life. Right. It would change how we live. It would change how we act. It would change how we deal with life. If we truly lived a life like, man, we just heard it. God just did that shout from heaven and the voice of archangel and the trump of God. I heard it coming. I'm telling you, we will change a few things in our life and who we are. But that, my friend, understand something. Just as I said that, it is going to happen one day. And we don't know the day nor the time. Why don't we get right today? Why don't we make it right today? Why don't we live in an expectation that Christ could return any moment? Oh, listen to me. You can lose your testimony in a moment's of time. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. My friend, he wants to take you and rip you to shreds. He wants to take you, ruin your testimony. He wants to beat you down. He wants to make your life miserable. He tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to ruin you. But the Heavenly Father said that I may come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Christ wants to give you an abundant life. Wants you and I to have an abundant life, but we got to turn it over to him and let him be in control. Number six, not only that, but we are an unstoppable force. Christian men and women need to link arms up. Us as churches across America, we have got to do our part when it comes voting this year. I've got a whole table out there set up for election stuff. You need to stop by and you need to grab a paper and you need to understand if Obamacare goes through, what you're going to be facing for insurance. It's all out there. It's on the table. I encourage you to stop by and look at it because I think it's my job to educate you for you to understand what it is that we're facing in this country. My friends, as Christian men and women, we are an unstoppable force because God is on our side. But it's time we stand up and let our voice be heard too, folks. We've been silent too long, amen? We've been silent too long. Verse 11 says this, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We see this and he says, behold, he says, you men of Galilee. In Luke 24:49, it says this. In Luke 24:49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. My friend, the power is Jesus. Amen. We need to be endued from the power on high. And Acts 2 verse 4 says, and they were all what? Filled with what? The Holy Ghost. This group of men returned that day in the upper room. And there were some other saints that began to call upon the Lord in prayer. And then we see this happen. In Acts 2, there were 3,000 that got saved. In Acts 4:4, 5,000 more got saved. In Acts 5:14, the believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women. The fear of men did not stop them. They had an unstoppable force. They had a power that was on them. And it was called the Holy Ghost. It was called Jesus that come upon them. And when you and I are consumed with the power of God, we are an unstoppable force. Can't nothing stop us, my friend, in the name of Jesus. When it's bound in Jesus and it's all about him, there's nothing that can come against you and me. Nothing that can stop the power of Jesus from moving and going forward if we just tap into that. In Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God rather than man. They didn't have a fear of man. They weren't worried about it. I'm sorry. Go back to verse 28. Acts 5:28 says this. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And it said in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God rather than man. It's our focus should be on God and obeying what God has called us to do. They took their command personally that said, go into the world. These people weren't going to let some official hinder what they're doing. And we are a part of an unstoppable force. You and I shouldn't let some legislating law making abiding and I have to be sweet tell us what we're going to do. That's what that wasn't elected to do. My friends, we got a job to do. And we got a voice that needs to be made. And we need to make it because we're an unstoppable force with Jesus on our side. Amen? Unstoppable. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Acts 4:13. In Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. That what? They had been with who? Jesus. They can say I'm ignorant all they want to if it comes back that they've been with Jesus. Amen. They can say young, learned all you want to. I never learned how to speak a lick of plain English. It's called countryfied and country fried. That's the only kind I know how to speak. My tongue gets tied up and there ain't no telling what kind of word going to come out. But hey, listen to me. I know one thing. They say that that's a nut. I said, that's right. I'm screwed on to the right bolt and his name's Jesus. Amen. Let's be a nut for Jesus, okay? Let's do that for him. It said they had knowledge that they have been with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great that when we walk out and we go to our jobs and we go to communities and we go to restaurants and we go to schools and we go to gas stations and grocery stores and everything like that, when people look at us, they can say, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. That's what they are to be able to see, amen? We're Christians, we're the child of the King. They ought to be able to look at us and be able to say that they've been with Jesus. And then we see that, my friend, persecution didn't stop them. It didn't stop them. They had the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant man. And they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They said that they had been with Jesus. The New Testament church surfaced today because those who would oppose us can't see Jesus in our lives. Can't see Jesus in our lives. We need to live, my friends, so that they can tell that we've been with Jesus. So that they can tell that we've been with the Lord. And it is evident in our lives. Persecution didn't stop them. In Acts 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men, or dragging men and women, committing them to prison. In verse 4, it says, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered because of persecution. God had a way of getting his word out. They were running for their lives. And when they did, they had Saul, who became Paul, was leading the persecution against them. Persecution allowed them to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know why? Because everywhere after that Saul went and Paul and the apostles and they started preaching about Jesus, the Holy Spirit started convicting them. The people didn't know what to do with it, so they cast them in jail. And when they cast them in jail, God broke them out and they kicked them out of synagogues, kicked them out of the city, and they went into another one and did the same thing, kicked them out of there and went into another one and did the same thing, and the gospel was spread out through that region. You know, don't stop. You might run into somebody that is an obstacle, or you might run into something that is oppression, but don't stop. Walk around them and keep on going. We got God's unfinished business to do. Don't stop. Keep on carrying out the work of the Lord and what God would have us to do. Keep on carrying it out. They were scattered abroad. Acts 19:10 says this. Said, and this continued by a space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard what? Heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. When we wake up and realize that we're an unstoppable force this world must reckon with, we'll be willing to go out and win whoever and whatever to the Lord. To the Lord. And produce that fruit like they did in the New Testament church in the book of Acts. When we really get that and grasp that and apply it to our life and wake up and understand we're an unstoppable force in this world to be reckoned with. It's time the Christians band together and let the world know that. It's time we come together and let the world know. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but the last thing in number 7, we have an unfailing promise. We have an unfailing promise. Look at verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We have an unfailing promise, folks. An unfailing promise. Oh, listen to me. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood on the mount overlooking Jerusalem and said to his disciples in John 14:1-3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I know the battle gets tough, folks, but don't be discouraged. One day, there's going to be a trumpet sound. One day, the trumpet's going to sound, He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's an unfailing promise. My friend, this Bible is full of promises, and they're unfailing promises. They're assured of God's word, and it will never fail. It wasn't so. If it wasn't so, he said, I would have told us so. I believe in that. I'm holding on to it. I'm looking for him to come. And maybe even today. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for him to come? Oh, listen to me. Until he comes, you and I have work left to do. You and I have unfinished business left to do. We are an unstoppable force, my friends, if we just band up and band in the Lord and band together. We're an unstoppable force. We're an unstoppable force, but it's time that you and me as Christian men and women band together and understand we got an unfinished task to do. We got an unfinished job to do. Understand, listen, we got the Fall Fest. It is on top of us. It is this Saturday, the Fall Fest and the Sportsman's Banquet. I still got empty spaces in these letters over here. I still got empty spaces for us to fulfill over here on this table. It's right on us. It's the Sportsman's Banquet. It's Fall Fest. I still got folks that we can use to sign up for cotton candy. I still got folks we can use to sign up for football tossed and balloon popping. And we still got a space available for a can toss. We still got a space, two, three spaces available for face painting. We still got a space available for a golfer, a space available for Frogger. We still got those spaces available, and here it is. We're having this event Saturday. Where are we at, folks? What are we doing? We're planning on reaching over 500 people, 500 folks that's going to bring two, three, and four children apiece that's going to come here. My friend, we're trying to reach a lost and dying world. But if we don't sign up, God's business is going to go unfinished and undone. We need you to step up to the plate. We got God's business to do. We got folks that need to sign up for the family Thanksgiving and helping. Folks for men's prayer breakfast all around. Awanas needs help. Children's church needs help. We got things we got to do, folks. We got things to do for the Lord. And it'll be unfinished if you and I don't step up to the plate to get the job done. My friends, we can, by not signing up, we can see a person's child go undone, go unsaved. A man or a woman that could be touched, go undone and go unsaved. We got work to do. I put in the bulletins, Jameson made up. Everybody made up. I want Jameson and Miss Joe. I want everybody to grab a bulletin. Inside the bulletin is a tear out that talks about Fall Fest. I want to challenge every one of you today. Don't walk out this door without getting one. All I want you to do is just hand one of them to somebody. Just give one out. Is that too much to ask, church family? For you to just hand this to one person and say, I would love to invite you to come be a part of our Fall Fest today. Leave it in their hand. There's some extra ones that's on that table. Take these bulletins. Folks, we want to see hearts changed, lives touched, souls saved, families reclaimed, because we're doing God's work the way He intends us to do it. Amen? Oh, you might be here and you might be looking for a church home. I don't know. We would love to be your church family. I would love to be your pastor. Maybe you're here and you've never invited Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. God's been saving folks left and right around here. Maybe you want to be a part of that. You come forward. We got counselors ready to take you in a back room and share with you about what God's Word says about being saved. Maybe you're here, my friends, and you got something on your heart you need to pray about. You come forward. I promise you somebody will join and pray with you. Whatever it is, will you be obedient to the call of God upon your life today? Will you stay?